The following sermon was recorded at Little Rock Church. For more information, check out littlerockchurch.org.
Last week, I talked about how 1 Kings chapter 8 is, in literary terms, it's known as what's a chiasm. In fact, we're going to put something on the screen. This is the structure of 1 Kings. And so last week, we dealt with the celebration. 1 Kings 8 is about the temple, the ark being moved into the temple. This is the high point of the book of 1 Kings. And the structure of Jewish literature is often not like American literature or Western literature, where the big things happen at the end, but often the big things happen in the middle. And so there's a structure in 1 Kings 8 that teaches us about celebration, blessing, dedication. So the first week, we looked at the celebration of all the sacrifices, and I pointed to how Christ is relevant. He's still present. The reason for our celebration is because of the atonement, the word, and the glory. And then this week, we're going to kind of look at the two outside measures of this high point in Israel's history of the blessing in verses 14 through 21. And then next week, we're going to be in the middle of the chapter, the true kind of the pinnacle of this process where Solomon has his dedication, his sevenfold prayer there in verses 22 through 53. So that's where we're going to be, 14 through 21 and 54 through 61 of 1 Kings chapter 8. And out of respect for God and his holy word, even though you're all comfortable now, if you'll please stand with me. Scripture is always worth standing for. This is God speaking to his people through his word. I'm going to read these two sections in chapter 8. And then I'll pray, and then you may be seated. And so this is after the celebration, the sacrifices, the glory, all those things. Then the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel. While the assembly of Israel was standing, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with his mouth to my father David and has fulfilled it with his hand, saying, 'Since the day that I brought my people Israel from Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house that my name might be there, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who will be born to you, he will build a house for my name. Now the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne of Israel as the Lord promised and have built the house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. There I have set a place for the ark in which the covenant of the Lord which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt." And then verses 54 through 61. When Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread towards heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." This is the word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Solomon's example of blessing here, and not just giving compliments to the people, but his blessing was in proclaiming you. He gave the people a vision of you. So Lord, I pray that I would step in that path this morning and give your people a vision for you, that we might bless you, not adding to your worth. We can't do that, but that we would rightfully and joyfully proclaim your excellencies, and not just with our mouth, but with our whole being. That out of the outflow of our heart would come magnificent praise to you, our God. I pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. John, are you able to help me just for a second? I forgot something for my sermon, and I need it. It's in my office. Can you go to my office? It's by the computer. It's a manila envelope that says Joshua, I think, 4 on it, standing stones. We'll wait until you get back. Everybody, right? No, we won't, but I forgot that this morning. John, the longer you take, the longer I take, and nobody wants that. No, I appreciate John going. We're going to get going. I forgot something in my office, and he's going to need it. One of the things that we find in Christian culture that Christians love to talk about is blessing, right? Being blessed, blessing others. Some of my favorite sayings in Christian culture, too blessed to be stressed. You ever heard that one? Too blessed to be stressed. Or what about, no one can stop your blessings. Not a hater, not an ex, not a hex, nothing. Or what about, this might be my favorite, no need to count calories today, just your blessings. Thank you very much. That's perfect. Thank you. Or what about, jealousy is when you count someone else's blessings instead of your own. In fact, how many of you have sayings around your house that talk about blessings? I'm sure some of you do. I'm not making fun of you now. We will later. No, no one's going to make fun of you. But I'm sure if we went through some of your homes, there would be things about blessings. And it is a huge part within the Bible, within the framework of Christianity, to think about blessings. When I searched the Bible for just the word blessing, I found that 535 uses of the word blessed are in the Bible. And it usually means something of a benefit. It's blessing. So that sometimes the Bible talks about God blessing us, and he blesses us with life. He blesses us with salvation. God blesses us. Sometimes it's, we talk about, I'm going to bless you with something. Maybe that might be a word of encouragement, but the idea of blessing, benefit, is what the Bible means. And sometimes we refer to superficial things as blessings. I am a blessed man. I have all my needs met, and then some. We have 2 cars that run well. I can't always say that's been my life. I remember growing up and having 1 vehicle that did not run well. There were 5 of us in a single pickup, single cab pickup truck. And it stopped running one day in a place that it needed to run. My TV is 55 inches. It's amazing. Growing up, we had a 13-inch TV. And we had a VCR that worked if you turned it on its side. But if you laid it flat, it wouldn't work. It's incredible. Sometimes we refer not to superficial things as blessings, but sometimes we refer to the deep things in life as blessings. I have a wonderful wife. I have 3 beautiful, amazing daughters, a happy home. We have all of our needs met and most of our wants. And we find in our text this morning that it says that Solomon blessed the people. 1 Kings 8:14 through 15. Then the king faced about and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly was standing. He said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with my mouth to my father David and has fulfilled it with his hand," saying. And then in 1 Kings 8:55 through 56, "And he stood and blessed all the assembly with a loud voice, saying, 'Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all he promised. Not one word has failed of his good promise.'" Do you see what Solomon did there? The text says that Solomon blessed the people. And do you see what Solomon did? Both instances, before and after his prayer of dedication, when it says that he turned, he faced the assembly, he blessed the people. What did he do? Well, to bless the people, he got up and gave them a bunch of compliments. He told them how good they were doing. And he said in a very American way, if you just pull yourselves up by the bootstraps, things will be okay. And then he made sure his talk was relevant to the masses by addressing all their felt needs in the audience. He made sure everyone was comfortable and that they sang songs they liked. And he didn't speak too long because he knew everyone had something important later on that day. Attention spans are short. No, he didn't do any of that. Solomon blessed the assembled people not by talking about them, but by giving them a vision of God. That's what it says, both places. Solomon turned about face, faced the great assembly, and he blessed them, not by talking about them, but by talking about God. Solomon's blessing for the people was God. Solomon's blessing for the people was a vision of God. The blessing for the assembled people began with God and his glory. It began with God and what he had done more than it had their felt needs for the day. Imagine an assembled people and all their problems. All the things. The king had more wealth than anybody in that room could have known what to do with. He could have canceled everybody's debt. He could have canceled all the student loans, because you know they had student loans back then, right? All these people, well, I didn't know what I was doing back then. Complaining about debt. Solomon could have taken care of it. But that's not what he did. He blessed the people by giving them a vision of God. This is high theology, loved ones. And our challenge is this, Little Rock Church, bless one another. How? By how he starts. Blessed be the Lord. Think of it this way, because I think it's hard to think, how do you and I bless God? You know, we sing about that in our songs, don't we? At all times, I will bless the Lord. Or bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. We say, but how do you do that? You've heard me say before, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. I can't make God's existence any better. So how do we bless him? I think this is a theme in Scripture. And I think our blessing God and Solomon's blessing the people are tied together. Psalms 34:1. This is David combines this idea for us. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord's, how often? All times. His praise, God's praise, will continually be not just in my head and my heart or my hands, but in my mouth, verbal. I will bless the Lord with my praise that comes from my mouth. See, I think when Solomon turns and blesses the great assembly, how he blesses them is by praising God, and this is important. It's important because it's one thing to give a lecture about God. I can do that. I could give you a lecture on God, his qualities, his characteristics, but it's a whole other thing to praise him. Praise him. That's what Solomon does. He blesses the people by praising the Lord. And what that praise means is that my whole being comes together in a heartfelt way to recognize the weight and glory of God working in the lives of his people. See, when Solomon, it says that he bless the assembly, and then he begins to talk about God. He doesn't just talk about a list of God in the abstract. He talks very concrete ways that God has blessed the people. That's what he does in verse 16 through 19. Since the day I brought my people Israel from Egypt, he's now going over family history. I did not choose a city. And then he comes down in verse 17, now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Solomon, when he says, bless the Lord, and he blesses the people, he doesn't bring abstract ideas about God, but he says, Israel, look at what God has done for you. Bless the Lord at all times. He has called you out of Egypt. He brought you out of slavery. He's given you a people. He's given you a place. And he's given you a person. And he's promised us that not one, there will always be someone on the throne of David. And we find that person fully in Jesus Christ. That's what Solomon is doing. Bless the Lord. Solomon, bless the people. How are you going to do it? I will proclaim the greatness of God, but not in abstract ways, in ways that he has worked in their lives. January 7th, 2018, I preached a sermon from Joshua 4, 1 through 7, which I know you all remember, about standing stones. And one of the things I had us do at the end of my sermon was I brought out cheap post-it notes. Remember that? None of them would stay on the lectern here. And there were all sorts of advice afterwards about what I could have done differently. from people who wanted it to go well. Not a critical spirit, it's just want it to go well. But I said, let's write down things in our lives that we can point back to and remember that God was there. And I've kept them in my study so I can read your notes. And if you ever write me an anonymous note, I have signatures to find out who did it. You don't think I'm that crafty. I'll just pull out the examples. No, I don't do that, but I kept these. These are, how is God working in your life? And I went through some of these this week, and I'm going to read some of them. And after I get done, I want you all to, with your whole being, say, praise the Lord. In fact, we should probably do this standing up, because that's what Solomon in the assembly did. So let's stand up, if you're able to. We won't do this long, but it's hard to praise in what Solomon was doing, slumped over. So I'll read it, and then you say, joyfully praise the Lord. Brought me through my mom's death while remaining faithful. Provided for my boys and gave me a second job for health insurance. Brought us through family crisis and strengthened my marriage even in hard times. New life, baptism, new home, and he brought my two children through cancer. God's provision and faithfulness over these many years. Maybe seated. That, I think, is the essence of 1 Kings 8. Solomon, bless the people. I mean, he could have done a lot of things. I have enough money, I could pay for everybody in the kingdom to be extremely wealthy. Or I could stand here for a long time and talk about how great the people are. But he doesn't do that. He blesses the people by giving them a vision of who God is verbally. Little Rock Church, bless one another. Most of you know my story. A couple years ago, my wife had a miscarriage, very sad, we were devastated. Deborah got pregnant again, but when they did the scans, there was the possibility that the baby could have serious life-threatening health issues, and we prayed. I prayed all the time when Isabel was in the womb, God, spare her life and take mine. Don't let her be sick. And he saved her. She had spots on her brain, markers. She may not make it through a year. But now she's here and frustrating us all. Oh man, she's wonderful. She's beautiful. All my kids are beautiful. Little Rock Church, look at what God has done. It's not, I think this idea of praising the Lord, Psalms 34:1, I'll praise the Lord. And his pray, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be on my mouth. And when I look at 1 Kings 8, I don't think it's about classroom theology. I think it's about Solomon. It's the whole being coming together saying, praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. It's not just about praising God. It's the presence of God working in the life of his people where you and I say, God is with me. Think back to Psalms 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It doesn't say in the heart, it says in the mouth. There is something verbal that happens in this idea. That this is the consummation of our heart and joy and our affection for the Lord. And some of you might be cynical right now and you're saying, well, what about mute people? What about people who can't talk? To that, I'll just say, loved ones, don't use, as always, the exception to the rule as the rule. Can you use your vocal cords, yes or no? Answer out loud. Can you use your vocal cords, yes or no? Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. All times. Let the things that come out of your mouth be high things about God. Don't give any of your fellow brothers or sisters cause to doubt the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. I will speak about God in such a way that no one will doubt his sufficiency. Bless the Lord, all times, my mouth, whether singing, whether speaking, that's what Solomon did. But we have to be careful. Jesus, when talking to the Pharisees and teachers of the laws who were just rotten, quoted Isaiah in Matthew 15, and he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart far from me." I mean, Jesus kind of explaining that to us. Oh, they're doing that. They're praising. They're doing Psalms 34:1 in a way, but their heart is far from me. So let me put it in a negative way that should challenge all of us. You can do the action of blessing the Lord and be a hypocrite, right? You can come and sing, and you can verbally proclaim. You can stand up because the preacher said to stand up. And you can say, "Bless the Lord," and not mean it. You can do the thing we're supposed to do and not really do the thing we're supposed to do. I think that's the essence of what Solomon is doing and what David is talking about in Psalms 34 and what Jesus is explaining. When God's people are to praise the Lord, it's not just this. It's the whole being expresses itself in vocal adoration of God, whether through speech or song. It's I've got to get this out. In the way some of you can't stop talking about your grandkids. And we get it. They're wonderful. But right? You have to talk about what you love. That's the idea. You have to talk about what you love. C.S. Lewis summed it up well in this way. "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed." So my question and my challenge as I begin to close is this. If you have vocal cords, if you can use them, if you can praise the Lord, if you can do that, is your heart there? So I think that's what David, when he says, or times in the Psalms where it says, "Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul." I think what David is doing is saying, "Soul, don't make me a hypocrite. Heart, don't make me a hypocrite. Because I will say the things." But to truly praise the Lord, it comes from the whole being. As some of you know, the Hebrew word for heart, it isn't about the emotional heart. But in the Old Testament, it's the Hebrew word nefesh. It's the whole being. My whole being will praise the Lord. So my question and challenge is, as you praise God, as we praise God, as we bless the Lord at all time, don't let it become just this. Because you can still do that and not do 1 Kings 8 with Solomon. A body's not crippled till its heart has ceased to praise. Louis Albert Banks, who is a famous Methodist preacher, tells of an elderly Christian man, a fine singer, who learned that he had cancer of the tongue and that surgery was required. In the hospital, after everything was ready for the operation, the man said to the doctor, "Are you sure I'll never sing again?" The surgeon found it difficult to answer his question. He simply shook his head no. The patient then asked if he could sit up for a moment, and he said, "I've had many good times singing the praises of the Lord." And he said, "And now you tell me I can never sing again. I have one song that will be my last. It will be of gratitude and praise to God." And there in the doctor's presence, the man sang softly the word of Isaac Watts' hymn, "I'll praise my Maker while I've breath. And when my voice is lost in death, praise shall employ my nobler power. My days of praise shall never be past, while life and thought and being last, or immortality endures." Little Rock Church, praise the Lord.